Subscribe to Kentucky Crazies on iTunes. Find us on Facebook and at Kentucky Crazies on Twitter. You can call the Blue Phone at 859-780-CATS. That's 859-780-2287.
From the friendly confines of the KentuckyCrazies.com studios, located in the heart of the Big Blue Planet.
Listen up.
It's time to talk all things Kentucky Crazy.
Listen up.
With your hosts, Mike Hicks and Aaron Newton. People are crazy.
All right, Kentucky Crazies, on this podcast, we're going to talk about the NCAA notice of allegations for Little Brother that just hit. We're going to talk the blue-white game coming up and a little Kentucky football. All right, Kentucky Crazies, this is Mike Hicks with the voice not built for radio, of course, and sitting here to my left, as always, at KY Crazy Aaron. Aaron, how you doing?
I'm good. Been gone for a while. This fall break here in the big state of Kentucky. We went down to Panama, fought all the people coming over from the hurricane, had some cancellations on our hotel rooms and things like that. It's kind of crazy. It cleared out by the time we were down there and saw everybody else from our hometown here down there.
I know a lot of the state was enjoying the beach and the sunshine. While I was back here working, I was looking at everybody's wonderful pictures.
My head's peeling because I don't have a whole lot of hair up there anymore, so it got a little sunburnt.
Got a little good old baldy red up there.
Now I got big dangerous flakes, it looks like. Some big chunks of skin.
Well, of course, I'm going to just jump right into this. The big news of today.
Oh, Little Brother.
Might as well dive in head first.
If you're listening to this on Thursday, it is the breaking news of the, everybody knew it was coming out, but the NCAA has released its notice of allegations for the University of Louisville and
Louisville.
Louisville. The team down the road, the place where you can do this kind of stuff and not be on 60 Minutes. Old Little Brother. Anyway, they've got the list of allegations that came out. And if you haven't heard these, I'm just going to rip through kind of the main points of this.
It may not be suitable for younger children.
Basically, the entire organization is not built for that, but you had four level one violations that included 14 paid strip shows, 11 sex acts that embodied 17 recruits or current players. When I say current players, you know, it was of that time, and the time frame was between December 2010 and April 14th. During that time frame, and it also included two AAU coaches and a friend of a recruit. So 17 recruits, current players of that time, two AA coaches, a friend of a recruit, all benefited from approximately, and they even say in the report, at least, not approximately, but it was at least $5,400 that was given for all of these services, if you will, to put it politely. So, and one other part of that we talk about here is Andre McGee was given two level one violations, which is the most, the biggest you can give something if you're the NCAA is level one. And Patino had a level one for, quote, failure to monitor Andre McGee. And then the other one was former assistant Brandon Williams, and he was basically helping out McGee for recruiting trips.
So the big issue, though, is they did not pin Patino with the lack of institutional control, which would have been a killer for him and the program.
Yeah, the program wasn't even listed for.
No, they didn't list the school for anything.
Yeah, school and Patino was the only thing he was cited for, which is a big deal, the fact that it's a level one, and incidentally, that's the only one that they're going to fight, is the Patino one. And so, basically, it happened, and Katina Powell was telling the truth.
No, you're not going to convince some people of it. But
Yeah, well, I don't think they care.
There was two other acts that they mentioned that, you know, you said the 11 sex acts, and there was like two, like failed sex acts or something. Was that?
Yeah, it was interesting. They actually said there was like two denied.
That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, and they redacted all the names that were in the transcript of the players. Some of them are underage, obviously, because they're high school recruits. That's something else that people aren't really paying attention to is... when you know you're in high school, you're underage, and so a grown man, and Andre McGee, was supplying strip shows and sex acts to underage kids. Now, we've joked about this a lot, and we still will, and we may be putting out something that's even whatever, but that's not funny.
It's criminal, is what it is.
Yes, it is criminal. And it's something that, you know, I don't think it's ever going to get pursued because at the end of the day, it's strippers and prostitutes. Not that's a good thing, but it's not like it's a major crime. But it is criminal.
You know, and in the end, I don't see the NCAA punishing them any further. Apparently, I saw where SportsCenter had put something out that says they're not going to be punished at all, but I don't see how that, because the NCAA hasn't even announced that yet, so I don't know where each sports center come up with this. But.
Well, they're politicking for them.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, this is my big beef, my big sweeping statement about how people like Dick Vitale and some of these media outlets, and even the NCAA itself, I compare it to the government. Now, I know, crazy conspiracy guy with his tinfoil hat on, but it's a buddy system. If you know the right people in the right places, they help each other out. You know, that's exactly what happens. Yeah, so I had like a little back and forth with Dick Vitale on his Periscope tonight. And he was, you know, talking about how we need to wait till everything comes out before we start talking about it or blaming people. Yet he was one of the first ones to come out when the news hit. Oh, this didn't happen. She's lying. And talking crap about her and protecting his buddy Patino in Louisville. But today, when he realizes Katina Powell was telling the truth, all of a sudden we need to wait.
Yeah,
bull crap.
Yeah. And Vitale's like that apparently. You know, when Larry Brown had his troubles at SMU, well, Vitale just laid it on him, you know, telling him he should never coach again and things like that. But yet this is going on with Patino at Louisville, and any other coach any other university, I don't care if it's Calipari, if it's Coach K. You know, Coach K might catch a pass. He'll pull his rosary out. But any other coach in the country would be fired or forced to resign. However you want to look at it, they would have a new coach.
There's no question about that.
No question.
No question. And, you know, another part of it is it's really difficult when you start comparing cases, whether it's a court case or, you know, in these NCAA situations. But put it simply, the NCAA is saying that if you send $1,000 to a recruit and the package busts open across the country, then you're going to get 3 years of severe punishment, recruiting restrictions, no television,
no
postseason.
It was just...
hammered down.
A hair away from the death penalty.
Exactly.
Is what we were.
So.
But even more recently, you look at Syracuse, who had lesser issues than, morality-wise anyway, than what went on at Louisville, and they were hit pretty hard. But then, on the flip side, you look at North Carolina, who to me was a bigger deal than Louisville. You know, Louisville, it's bad because it sounds bad. You're talking strippers and sex and things like that. But North Carolina was academics. You know, this was school-wide. This was teachers involved. This, you know, this was a planned-out thing for decades. And I don't guess anything happened with North Carolina.
Well, I agree with that. And the thing about North Carolina is, you know, it cuts right to the core of what it's supposed to be, the student-athlete. And it went on for a couple decades, different coaches, et cetera. And for that to be swept under the rug is just screams. And the situation, again, with Kentucky, I'm sitting here saying, well, you know, I have some theories about maybe it didn't happen, but I accept that the punishment came from the NCAA, and we went through that. I accept that. Where that message is telling me that that is worse than approximately $5,400 spent on 11 sex acts, 14 strip shows with 17 players and recruits. You're telling me that's worse than that? That does not make a lick of sense.
Yeah.
The punishments don't weigh out the same, or even there's no connection there.
Yeah, and you know, in our the Emory package was in the you know the '80s, whatever year it was, and you would think as the years go by that this punishments would become a little bit more severe. You know, this is
the punishments should fit the crime, but it doesn't because it again it's who you are, who you know, and I believe that Patino has people in the right places, and you know, because he's always gotten by with this type of stuff, where he comes out and it's he deflects, he denies, and he blames.
But should they really be punished more? I mean, those poor kids last year didn't get to go to the tournament. Those poor kids.
Those poor
they
kids.
They transferred into Louisville with the high hopes.
Well, you know, another thing is, and I was thinking the same thing, Matt Jones on his Periscope a little bit earlier today hit the nail on the head. Within the first minute or two of Patino's press conference that came after the allegations, of course, they already knew what was going on, Patino brings up 9/11
mm-hmm.
and the Billy Minardi dorm room, okay? Well, nobody can touch that because of, obviously, the deep-seated situation with 9/11. We're all, as Americans, connected to that. So, him bringing that up immediately, it just... It's a technique.
Mm-hmm.
It's a technique. And, it, you know, it's that lawyer stuff. And that's the thing that burns me up. Burns me up. He deflects, he denies, and he blames. 9/11. My brother-in-law. Well, you know what? That's tragic. That's terrible.
But this happened in a dorm named after his brother-in-law.
Under Patino's watch. So don't. But what does 9/11 have to do yeah. with what happened under Patino's watch with Andre McGee? It has absolutely nothing. But what it does do is it paints him to be a victim.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's a victim for getting that tattoo. Some of that money should have gone to getting that tattoo removed.
Well, we posted a picture earlier that somebody put online that has an asterisk beside it now, like a little tattooed asterisk. And before I just completely. Go, you know, stop here. I got another point here. Again, we're talking about underage kids, girls and boys, traded out for wins and money for grown men.
For a title, basically.
For a title. Yeah. Correct.
He couldn't recruit on the level that Calipari was recruiting.
Yes.
He was feeling the pressure. I mean, you think this started in when, 2010?
Yes.
You know, look what was going on at UK.
Oh, wait a minute. Who went to UK in 2010?
So all of a sudden, we got to have some kind of advantage here. You know?
Do what you need to do. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it.
Now, that's us reading between the lines. There's no evidence of that. There is a chance that he didn't know the gory details. But again, it goes back to under his watch.
The biggest hero in all this for Louisville is McGee because he kept his mouth shut. He took the bullet for whatever reason. You know, he may have been kind of promised something or threatened or some way. You know, something happened there. He bit the bullet, kept his mouth shut. Everybody else is free and clear, no problem. You know, four major violations still to me, though, is four major violations.
And for anybody sitting there saying, oh, these guys are just talking conspiracy theory, you're the same ones that said that when Katina came out with her story that is now proven true.
Mm.
Okay? Stop it. Take off your red color Patino glasses and face the mirror and accept it. And I had a Louisville person, I'm reading quote unquote, quote, do wrong, get caught, get punished, and move on. It's a slap on the wrist, see you in March. And that might be the most disturbing part about all of this, is how everything that we just talked about, all the gory details that happened, that have been proven to be true. A Louisville fan, slap on the wrist,
Not even ashamed of it, basically.
See you in March.
Yeah. That's the way things go. Yeah.
Well, you know what? You own that. That's you now. Now, yeah. that's not that person, but that's that program.
The mentality of the fans and the program itself. You know, in the end, I mean, I'd like to see them punished. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'd love to see that banner come down. But in the end, I don't really care because it's still out there that they have four major violations, that is proven that all this went on, and that's going to stick with Patino for the rest of his life. Plain and simple.
All right. There you go.
Bada-bing, bada-boom.
I'm going to go take a shower now. So we can come back and talk about some of the good people and the good teams and the good players. We'll be right back after this.
KentuckyCrazies.com. Call the Blue Phone at 859-780-CATS. That's 859-780-2287. Ask a question, leave a comment, or tell us how crazy you are about Kentucky. Leave us a cat call on the Blue Phone. We will put you on a future podcast. KentuckyCrazies.com. Call right now.
I just wondered who's going to be the first commit for the 2017 basketball class. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for that call there. 2017, I don't know a lot about that class right now.
Generally, I don't pay a lot of attention to the recruiting until it really comes down to the nitty-gritty. You know, once all the other... Because Cal doesn't really get a lot of commits until late in the process anyway, you know. That's kind of typically the way it's been, but a lot of kids seem to hold back wanting that, you know, wanting Kentucky. So, in the end, we get who we want, basically.
It's completely changed, you know, where we used to be really concerned about, like, hope we get this kid or that kid, but Cal just got it all. It's a whole different climate right now.
Gillespie, we were excited about having a commitment from a 7th or 8th grader at one time.
Yeah, so...
He's going to be the next Jordan.
I think the first recruit we'll get for that class is PJ Washington.
That's the way things are. The crystal balls, as you say, they kind of pointing to that. What's his numbers? He's 6'8", 230-ish.
235, and he is...
which is about the size of Alex Poitras, it sounds like.
I've seen him play a little bit. He's got a little more... length to him. You know, he's not really like a muscle type guy. He's got a little more, I'll say more athleticism. Alex was a freak, but a more of a length type player. As of a couple few days ago, it was down to Arizona, Kentucky, North Carolina, and UNLV. And today he knocked out Arizona, but what else happened with that?
Well, they like 2 or 3 days ago, he had actually dropped UNLV from his list. And then here in the last day or so, he has dropped Arizona, but added UNLV back onto his list. Kentucky is still there, and UNC is still there. But like we said, it looks like Kentucky is the option for him.
And a big part of that is everybody believed it was between Arizona and Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the UNLV ad just might be, you know, a favor or something just to put them out there.
That,
you know,
and have a third hat on the table.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, which hat? You got to have a red hat on the table, you know, so... But, yeah, so to answer that caller, P.J. Washington, hopefully he'll be a cat, and right now it looks like he will be 15th overall and number one in the state of Texas. So come on down, P.J. Washington.
Yeah, we haven't had a P.J., so we'll take him.
I have a J.P., but not a P.J.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, so right now you guys can pre-order the new Coach Calipari book that's coming out November the 15th on our website. Check out this little promo for it. Get on our site, KentuckyCrazy.com. Be a perfect Christmas gift.
John Calipari, New York Times best-selling author. Success is the only option. The Art of Coaching Extreme Talent. The new book from John Calipari. Pre-order yours today. Release date, November 15th, 2016. Pre-order your copy today from KentuckyCrazies.com.
There you go, Coach Cal's new book, Success is the Only Option, instead of Patino's old book that was Success is a Choice. All right, you know Cal had to do that on purpose. A little quick story about whenever that commercial was made. I was working on that late at night in my office, and you were driving back from Florida, weren't you?
Yes, I was, yes. You called me.
I called you about this because I was in here working, and my dog, Kaywood, as in Kay Wood Lefford, of course, started barking pretty aggressively at close to midnight. Well, I happened to look out my window, and my neighbor's house across the street was on fire. So, I won't go through the details of that, but I grabbed my cell phone, called 911, went over, banged on their door, got them up out of bed, and basically, if that didn't happen, probably saved their lives.
So Calipari saved their life because he wrote this book.
That's exactly right. That's John Calipari saved their life. Calipari and Kaywood.
Well, if he never wrote this book, you would have never been making that commercial at that time. He saved their life. You need to let Cal know that.
Yes. Thank you, John Calipari, for saving my neighbor's lives. And so when they don't come over... all right. We know what we should do is let off some fireworks.
We should.
All right. So we've got the coaches poll came out today. Let's talk a little basketball here. Kentucky basketball. Coaches poll came out today. Cats came in number 4. Number 1 is the Dukey flopping Grayson Allens. And number 2 is Kansas. Number 3 is the defending national champs in the Villanova Wildcats. Number 4, Kentucky Wildcats. What do you think about that?
I don't really care.
Preseason polls.
Yeah, preseason. It's always nice to be ranked higher because then it's harder for you to get knocked down lower. But with the schedule we play, we're going to take a loss or two, I would say. Generally when you start ranked high like that, it's going to have to be really bad. Like we had the 1 year, we were ranked number 1 and out of the polls in a few weeks.
And that was proof, really, that what you just said. If you start the season off 22nd and you have a couple losses, you're fighting like all year and you end up being a bubble team or something. And if you start off high. But anyway, Cal's team, since he's been here, have been ranked in the top 10 preseason every single season, which is pretty phenomenal. But, of course, we have the blue-white game coming up on Friday night, which when you're listening to this on Saturday, it's already happened. But Friday night at 7 Eastern on the SEC Network. And I kind of generally like the blue and white game as much as I love Big Blue Madness for the spectacle of it. We actually get to start seeing some skill sets of these guys in game situations.
I actually saw some complaints about Big Blue Madness because the players weren't taking it serious. They were trying crazy dunks, and that's what it's about. It's not a practice. It's them out there having fun. And so get over that. Watch the blue and white game if you want to see some real basketball skills.
And those same people will probably say the blue and white game is boring.
Yeah. In the 2 5-minute halves that we did see out of the players, and they're out of shape. They're not in not out of shape. They're in better shape than I am by far, but they're not in basketball shape that they're going to be. It was some pretty impressive athletes on the court.
Yeah, definitely not in basketball shape, but Calipari's got the swagger going on. You can tell Monk and Bam and Fox and Briscoe. Basically, Willis, everybody's in. We got some athletes.
Yeah, Bam is just something we haven't seen. He's just a monster. And two players that I was more impressed with than anybody. One was Briscoe. I expect it. But his outside shot looks good. And they say in practices, he's just lighting it up with the shot. But who in the world is going to keep him from getting to the rim?
Nobody.
I mean, you can pick some NBA players that might. But,
maybe Bam.
Yeah, Rondo. I don't know. But he even scored over Bam in the blue-white or the Madness. But it's just crazy how he gets to the rim in the little reverse behind his head layups.
He's crafty.
He is. And the other player, just in the first minute of the scrimmage, was Humphreys. The ball just seems to stick in his hand. He's in position. He gets the rebounds. He's got a nice shot. I want the kid to play. I wanted him to play last year over Scal a lot, and that didn't happen. And my big fear this year is this team is, I've said before, is going to be so fast that he'll lose time. But, we've said that in the past too, and teams are good enough to slow you down, and we're going to have that.
You're going to have that presence whenever, like you said, slowing down if they're playing zone, and he can play those types of slow down games. The only thing I'm concerned about right now, and there's not a lot of talk about it, I've noticed it in the televised practice, and also noticed it in the blue white or the little big blue madness. His knee, and I haven't seen hardly any reports about it. Only a couple of minor tweets about it and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's going to be something I'm going to look for Friday night, is because I don't want that to be a problem.
Yeah, it's early, and you know he's getting in shape, playing basketball, so he's probably got some aches and pains. You remember last year we had some, with mainly Hawkins was knocking people around, knocking people out. We had some early injuries, but you want players that are tough. And one thing that I got from the madness that really stuck with me was a quote from Briscoe about their little pickup games that they have. He says Humphreys is always on my team. He says he does everything's right. You know, he sets the pick. He does the things you don't notice. You know, he'll set the screens. He rebounds. He says he wants Humphreys on his team every time.
Humphreys is a guy that does all the intangibles, the smart things. Not that we don't have smart players, but he's the guy that does, you know, the Chuck Hayes gets 12 rebounds and you don't notice it, and he helps you win the game. And, you know, I think Humphreys is going to bring a lot of that. And he's also a good athlete, too.
Yeah, he is. And he can sing.
And he can sing.
And he can play piano.
I got to watch a little bit of he and Briscoe at Media Day, and that was really entertaining. They made a good team. You know, Humphreys is seems like a reflective type of kid. Mm-hmm. You know, he's really enjoying the experience of and starting to really, I think it means something to him. Like, you know, not that it didn't, but he's starting to develop that more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
well, he's a young kid. You know, I guess he's getting more comfortable here in the homeland of the Big Blue and kind of realizing how things are going to work for him.
Okay, well, like I said, Big Blue, Blue White game Friday, 7 Eastern. What channel is it on?
Well, what's that on DirecTV? You know, everybody seems to forget how to use their remote controls and things.
And the guide button.
Or Google.
SEC Network. If you can't find it, use Google. You can, you know,
find it and save, put it on like your favorites on your channel list.
How do you do that? Can you tell me how to do that?
There's buttons on the remote.
Well, my remote control doesn't have that button that you have. How do I do that? What channel?
Just keep it on that channel all the time.
What channel is it on, though?
Well, DirecTV is 611. That's all I know.
What's ESPN 3? All right. So, shifting gears, Cats play Mississippi State, 7:30 Eastern time on the SEC Network. What channel?
Just keep it on that station.
What channel is that on?
Yeah, my dad and I and my two sons and brother-in-law, again, we're all going to this game again, be our second trip of the year, and we're really looking for a win here. This is Mississippi State is struggling. Kentucky's looking good right now. It's been two games since we've done a podcast now. We had Alabama and Vanderbilt, and since Stoops has kind of taken over the defensive role or practice calling plays or whatnot, the defense has looked much better. That first game was a little iffy. You know, everybody was questioning what was going on. But even in Alabama, you look at that game, and, yeah, they scored, I think it was 34 points. But think about this. Kentucky has held them to their lowest point total on the season. This is the number one team in the country, Alabama. And Kentucky's held them to their lowest point total of the season. Yeah, watching that game, they could have scored more. And I think a lot of what it is, I think Stoops is liked by a lot of the coaches. You know, you look back when Steve Spurrier was a coach, him and Stoops got along. They were friends. And I believe it's the same thing with Saban. So maybe he took it easy on him, but we're not going to think about that. We're going to think our defense held them to their lowest point total of the season.
Plus it was Alabama, you know.
Yeah, it's Alabama. We didn't expect to win, and we didn't. And the offense is kind of struggling. The bye week came at a very good time. We've got a lot of players that needed to heal up. Especially the quarterback, Johnson, he's had some wrist problems, and the Vanderbilt game was horrible, maybe one of the worst games I've seen out of a quarterback since grade school. And so he needs some time to heal up. And so we're going to see what our week off leads to coming into Mississippi State, who had a tough game against BYU there last week. They lost, I think it was overtime they lost in. And so, you know, they're hurting right now, but we're fresh. We should be ready to go.
We're coming into the game actually 2-2, tied with Tennessee for second place behind Florida, who's 3-1. So here we are sitting at 3-3, and with the win here, the attitude that we had about our Cats, you know, just a few weeks ago, slowly can kind of start changing here. And who would have thought, you know, I know it's still midway-ish or whatever, but 2-2, tie with Tennessee, and so get a win here, it could be.
But we're still at, we have to have every game. You know, it seems like it every week. This is the most important game in Stoops' career here.
We got
to
win this one.
We have to. This is another must win, and we keep saying that every week. Georgia, Missouri, we can afford to lose one of those games, but just one of them. You know, was it for a bowl is what I'm saying.
Let's get the win.
It has to happen.
Catwalk, for those of you going out to the game, catwalk starts at 5:15. And also SEC Nation is going to be broadcasting from the game
somewhere there. Somewhere on campus. I believe they said it was around the library. I'm not familiar with the campus, so I don't know. But
it's supposed to be beautiful weather Saturday.
A little chilly. Wear a jacket.
Yeah, you girls can wear those boots, those blue
with your
dresses.
Leggings and stuff.
Yeah, that's the perfect time to get the boots out.
I also want to give a little shout-out to the women's volleyball team. They're on a heck of a roll. The last I saw, they were ranked number 23. I failed to look before we did this show, but I should have. But, I mean, it's another team we've got on campus doing some work. And one other thing I wanted to mention before we get off here was football recruiting. Supposed to announce this weekend was Danny Clark, a former commit to Ohio State, is a four-star quarterback who actually had a Ohio State tattoo on his arm. It's supposed to announce this weekend where he's going to go after he's dropped Ohio State. He's been on UK's campus twice.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it sounds like it's going to be Kentucky. So that's
so maybe he can borrow Patino's asterisk beside the Ohio State.
Yeah, he'll
first
put that.
Hat.
Yeah, or do the little Ghostbusters sign, you know.
Yeah, there you go. That's kind of what the Ohio State logo looks like anyway. All right, so give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. Ask us a question like we had earlier, 859-780-2287. That's 859-780-CATS, C-A-T-S. And on Twitter, at KOI Crazy Aaron and at Kentucky Crazies. And, of course, this is with a voice not built for radio. Mike Hicks.
It still sounds sweet to me.
And KY Crazy. I'm Aaron Newton, KY Crazy Aaron. So, all right, let's get a win Saturday. Let's learn more about our catch Friday. And whatever you do, don't go to Billy Minardi's dorm anytime soon. They're still cleaning all that stuff up. All right, go Cats. Until the next time, stay crazy, Kentucky.
Follow us on Twitter at Kentucky Crazies. And find us on Facebook at facebook.com/KentuckyCrazies. KentuckyCrazies.com.
Listen up.
You people are crazy.
And this is all a part of my sickness.